one. Have you ever been excited about something? Have you ever tried to share your excitement with someone who wasn't excited?
Yes.
Have you noticed sometimes that when you're really excited and you try to share with somebody who isn't excited, that they kind of dig their feet in to not get excited?
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because what?
They're party poopers.
They're party poopers, okay. So don't be a party pooper. Share the excitement. 2014. There is stuff to be excited about. Now, if you think that the year is just going to be same old, if you think that it's just going to be, you know, doom and gloom, sadness and pain, if you just think it's going to be all about troubles and anxious hearts and worry, yeah. It's not going to be all about worry. It may be that all those things happen intermittently, but there's something else going on, isn't there? There is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who wants to come and just explode within us. I am excited about this year. I'm excited because of the journey that we're about to take through the Word of God in a different way, a way we haven't done before. And part of the problem is that if you've never read through the Bible, the idea of reading through the Bible might just sound long and boring. If you have read through the Bible, you say, oh, I've already been there, done that. So put all that on the shelf for a minute, and let me try and share with you a bit of excitement. So Luke, let's see if we can get the first slide to come up. I am calling this the Day Spring Lectionary. A lectionary for you official people, and for those of you that come from a liturgical church. If you were in your former life Lutheran or Catholic or Episcopalian, or the lectionary is a document that is published for the whole year so that all of the churches in affiliation will be reading the same texts at the same time. So the lectionary has benefit. It's a purposeful item. Well, we are going to use a different form of lectionary, not the Episcopal lectionary, but the Day Spring lectionary, which is a reading plan. Screen two. What we are doing is I'm following this plan that a fellow put together. I've looked at lots of reading plans trying to get ready for this year, and most of them start in Genesis and go to Revelation. Some of them have an Old Testament reading and then a New Testament reading every day so that you can have some variety as you read through. But when I found this one, I got excited. And I would like to share this excitement with you as we divide the scripture into seven categories, because there are 7 days in the week. Notice that the Bible contains the epistles. You've heard of those words, the epistles. Goes Romans through Jude in the New Testament. So on Sunday, every Sunday of the year, we're going to be reading from the epistles. On Monday, we're going to be reading from the law, otherwise known as the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. Now, some of you in the past have gotten into sections like Leviticus, and it just seems to go on and on and on, and people can grow weary if you don't. Well, we're not going to be reading 25 or 30 pages of Leviticus at one time. We're going to go from Sunday, the epistles, Monday, the law. On Tuesday, we'll get into the history books. That'll be Joshua through Esther. And then the next day of the week, we'll go to Psalms. There are 150 Psalms, and they'll have a schedule through those. Next slide. Poetry comes next, and there were too many of them. Then prophecy comes the next day, and it's 17 of them. And then the Gospels, which are, for this reading plan, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. So next slide summarizes. Here will be a reading plan for every day of the week. So that together, now remember, we are an affiliation of Christians, correct? So the purpose of the lectionary is to get us all on the same page together. This is one of the most frightening and threatening and intimidating things about church, is that we might actually be together. And what also would be really cool is if during the year, if your excitement actually got to somebody else. And that can only happen if you get excited. Hello? So, Sunday through Saturday, every day of the week, there will be a reading schedule. Is there another slide? Now, to make this more than just a read through and check off the block, yes, I've done it, which sometimes, if you're in that kind of a zone, you say, well, okay, Pastor Skip says I got to read four chapters today, so I'll just read right through them, check them off, and I say, great, I did my job. I submit to you that can get kind of boring, or at least not have the life of the Spirit that it could have. So what happened to my slide? My slide went to the cross, which is the most important. Did we lose that, Luke, or will it come back? Last slide. There you go. We're asking the question, how does God do a thing? Okay, now connect some. Hold that slide. Let's just talk about what we've talked about. We said that we wanted to know, who am I in Christ? Remember that question that we pursued? And the secondary question to that was, for whom am I in Christ? That's the connectivity part, yes? And then that followed up, we closed out the year understanding about identity, new ideas about who I am and for whom am I. So a great question to pursue for this year is, okay, now I've got this idea that really Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Oh boy, you're fired up. I can tell you are one excited bunch of people. Jesus lives in you.
Amen.
Do you or do you not have King of Kings and Lord of Lords dwelling here?
Yes.
Well, if we do, then we ought to be somewhat curious about what he's able to do through us.
Amen. Yeah.
Duh. That would help get us. So one thing you might be saying, well, okay, God, we read last week that your ways are not like our ways. Your thoughts are not like thoughts. You're not a great big human being. If anything, you've created us in your image. You want to come live in us. How is it, oh God, that you want to do things? Because I can tell you right now, if we formed a committee, it wouldn't matter how many or how big or how large, if we formed a committee, we'd get a lot of ideas how to do stuff. Amen? We're good at coming up with ways to do stuff. Wow. What I want to know is, how does God do a thing? Secondary to that is, well, what is it that God is focused on? How many of you have plans for this year? You got plans? Okay, whose plans are they?
Mine.
Yours. You know, good luck with that. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. True? So what I'm asking is not only, how do you go about doing whatever it is you do? What is it, oh God, that you're focused on? Can I even discover that? Is that too high and mighty?
No.
Can I take up this Bible and begin to read in this book practical shoe leather understanding of what God Almighty cares about?
Yes.
Is that that possible? Then that would be exciting. Is he saying anything? There's absolutely no point in being a part of this faith system if God isn't speaking. Right? You might as well carve a dumb idol and hang it on the hood of your car or something. Right? If God is not personal, if he is not speaking to us and guiding us, then we're not matched up with the real God. Well, that means number four is pretty important, huh? Because this is his word, at least the part of it that we have canonized, the part that the scholars through the ages, some 2,000 years, this thing has stood the test of every kind of criticism that's possible. Everybody's tried to rewrite it and revise it and do whatever they want, and still this book stands.
Yeah.
And the reason it stands, I believe, is number four, because it speaks. You read it, it will talk. God Almighty, by His Spirit, will speak to even you. Kids, this book is not just for the old people. In fact, we have noticed in Day Spring here, a lot of the young people are getting on fire for Jesus. They're starting to understand. You pray to the Lord, He answers. You ask Him of a thing, He cares. It's really kind of cool. Is there another one, or is that it? Okay, so today, Sunday is the first day of 2014's read. You haven't missed anything in these first 5 days, because we're starting today. And the assignment, I'm just going to give you an example of how this can go out of Romans. So if you turn to Romans chapter 1, and that ends the slides, I think. Romans chapter 1, being a Sunday, is the epistle. Oh, and by the way, Amanda has printed up something. I think it looks like this. Is that right, Amanda? Does it look like that? You've got them. Now, at first look, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, I got to sit there and check off all those blocks. And I hope that I'm doing a better job of breaking that down than just seeing a bunch of work. If all it is a bunch of work, re-examine your heart. Because what it should be is a guide to those who see through a glass dimly. We are those that need to know where the path of the Lord is, yes? And I believe it's revealed through His Word, both written and spoken. But let me give you an example of how to answer some of these questions. I've said that Romans 1 and 2 is the read for today. So sometime, we're not going to do the whole thing today. Sometime today, steal away and read Romans chapter 1 and 2. Won't take you very long at all. And while you're reading Romans chapter 1 and 2, what are you going to be doing? Asking some questions as you read the thing. Now, with Romans, it's pretty easy. When we get into some of the historical books, some of the wisdom literature of the Bible, questions will come up. If you start reading Ezekiel, you may have questions that come up as to who is Gog and Magog. And you're going to be tempted to ask that question. Don't get bogged down in trying to answer questions that the Scripture doesn't clarify for you. I'm asking you to look for answers that the Scripture does give you. Hello? Yeah. So that if you've got a situation going in your life, who's got situation? Yeah. All right. What did you call it? You called it, you had a name for it. What? Curveballs. We're all getting tossed curveballs, yes? Yeah. How would it be if we asked the Lord, while the curveball is in motion, slow the thing down so that I can see the curveball and hit the sucker out of the park, right? Yeah. That's what we want to do, and I believe He can do that. So one way, I just want to show you how this works in Romans chapter 1. Follow with me. Tell me if your Bible starts this way. Romans 1:1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach His good news. So far, so good? Do you see yet how God does a thing? Verse 2. God promised this good news long ago through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Did God just say anything? Did He speak? Did we get any kind of focus? Do we understand even from the first two verses of today's read anything about how God works? Huh? He makes promises. And He keeps them. Note to planet Earth. God makes promises. Note number two. God keeps His promises. Oh my goodness, without even reading verse 3 and following, I could get overwhelmed with ideas. I could get excited trying to recall the promises that God has made. That he wrote them. And how did he do that? Oh, people want to argue about the scribes and how things were transcribed and how characters are lost. And people want to fight it. Have you noticed how much effort has gone in the couple thousand years to destroy what God has done? A lot of effort has gone in to tear this apart. Yeah. It's amazing that at some of the seminaries in America today, they have atheist professors. Specifically, to provide another side of life and challenge young people with the atheist view while they're in school to study the faith. Now, that may be educationally challenging, but if I'm an atheist, I would think I would have to look long and hard at how bad a job I've been doing it for 2,000 years. Who's been successful? God has been successful. When the Israelites decided that they would take their eye off of God and do anything else but worship Him, what happened? No good thing happened to them. They quickly got put into some kind of bondage. Some foreign nation came and overthrew them. Somebody put them in a predicament, the squeeze chute, so that they would call upon God. Chosen by God. First verse, first line. How does God do a thing? He chooses. People are called. We call Israel the chosen ones. Of course, that was before the New Testament. So they were the chosen ones. Has God chosen us in Christ Jesus? I can quit, but I can't quit. This kind of stuff excites me. To try and even comprehend that we are chosen. That you are chosen. Oops. That I am chosen. I think you as a people have no problem with the idea that somebody else is chosen. But when it gets personal, it gets intimate, and it gets tender, and it gets maybe scary. Because if you're chosen, he'll be asking, won't he? He's choosing you to do something. He's choosing you to go somewhere, to give something, to pray for someone. But to me, folks, this should be the absolute knockdown excitement of the Christian faith. He's not asking me to do what he's asking Leanne to do. But that doesn't mean I'm any less. No matter how much success Leanne might have praying for people to get healed, saved, and delivered, what he's calling me to do is absolutely exciting. And so if we run into Christians who are bored with their faith or apathetic about their life in Christ or just not engaged with this faith system, what are they doing? Well, they're not. Yes, exactly. Are they creating idols out of other things? Are we doing what the Israelites did to then begin to lose the dynamic of God in their life? Now, I know over the past few years there's been all this controversy of name it and claim it preaching and the wealth stuff and all that. And I agree that that's a tremendous distortion. But the element of truth is that God cares about us. And what he's asking us to do is to go vertical. Right? Get with him. And then he will bless. Now, he may not bless with money. He may not bless with health. It may be like Sister Cantu sitting in a reduced capacity in a town distant from here, but asking the question, what am I here for? She's content. And she is one excited woman when it comes to Jesus Christ. If you then begin to think about the power, be very careful, power of the Holy Spirit. True or false? God's Holy Spirit has or has not been poured out here. So if we agree with the Word that God's Spirit has been poured out upon us, then we have access to God's Holy Spirit. Hey, this is exciting. It's also very scary. Because what if you start getting peculiar? What if you start acting not normal? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Normal isn't working for America.
It's not.
It's an index so that you can find, especially when you get to the minor prophets, you know, you'll be able to find. Folks, I'm excited about the year. It can be a year of dynamic change. It can be a year of the power of God's Spirit pouring not just upon you, but through you. Or it can be same old, same old. It's up to us. And the challenge isn't for any of us to go out and try and get be seen or be known by anybody else except by Him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
This reading plan, if you'll just take my word for it, I went to each day of the week, this week. I've already done it. And I didn't even read through the whole text yet each day. I just wanted to see if what I'm telling you was accurate. And I couldn't get past verse 6 in any day's read. Before the whole thing was, God was speaking everywhere. Here's who I am. Here's how I do a thing. Here's what I've promised. Here's what I want you to do. Any questions about what your assignment is?
No.
So that you know where I'm going to be, I'm going to select on Sundays. I won't always select from the Sunday read. I will be selecting from one of the reads during that week. To something unique that God spoke to me. I'm as excited about what that might be because I don't have it all figured out yet. But it's going to be really fun. And I have encouraged you, those of you that get email, got this email, if you didn't get my email, two things are wrong. One is either you don't have email, which is fine, or two, I don't have your email. So if you didn't just get an email from me, please see me afterwards and write it out for me. Don't tell me what it is because the dashes and the dots and the underscores get all goofed up. But if you just write your email out on a piece of the bulletin, tear it off and give it to me, I'll get you in the distribution list. It would be great during the week if you wanted to share with me anything about what God's doing because I would like to go through this together. Amen? So, Lord, thank you for firing us up. Thank you for getting us excited. Help us to be so infectious, oh God, that news of you spreads through our community. So that news of you spreads through our workplace. So that news of you spreads into our families, oh God. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Get ready for a ride. And you are dismissed for fellowship and snacks.